Well, this is Peter Ford. I had a long 35-year career in the Foreign Office. I ended up ambassador in Syria. Before that, I was ambassador in Bahrain. The Middle East is my special subject. I'm an Arabist. And after the Foreign Office, I worked for 8 years with the United Nations, with the agency UNRWA that's in Gaza now, in the thick of the fighting there. For the last few years, I've been an activist in the freedom movement, and more recently, I've joined the George Galloway's Workers' Party. I've become deputy leader to George. On the Sweda incident, well, this just proves everything that people like me have been saying, that the British government have been instrumental in bringing to power in Syria a jihadi al-Qaeda ISIS type regime, which is perfectly capable of carrying out atrocities like those seen in the hospital in Sweda. The new regime is trying to pretend that these may have been renegade elements and that they're going to have an investigation. This is about as convincing as Israeli claims that they're going to have investigations into all the atrocities being committed in Gaza at different times by the IDF. It's a total pantomime. What is going on is that these ISIS, Al-Qaeda gangs in control in Damascus are grooming us. We are being abused. Britain is going along with this ridiculous pantomime of pretending that the regime in Damascus is not a jihadi regime, and it's not them who are actually the instigators of these atrocities. We are being groomed by the gang in Damascus. Now, moving to a different level, the Trump-Putin meeting. Personally, I'm rather optimistic because I see two potential outcomes, both of them relatively favorable. The first one is that the Don does more or less strike a deal with Putin. This is unlikely, but not impossible. Second, more likely, is that the Don does extract concessions, or what appear to be concessions, from Putin in terms of a land swap. And the Don then takes these to Zelensky, who will, backed by the Europeans, reject them totally, upon which the Don will wash his hands of Zelensky, call him out, and say that America is walking away. That would be the optimal outcome. And fingers crossed, that's what we're going to see. Thank you.
Right. Peter, can you hear me at all?
Yes.
Right. So could you please give us an idea? I mean, the Russians, it seems, may be finished. I mean, they've collapsed in Syria. They're being surrounded, aren't they, by the Western countries? And surely Putin is biting his nails right now.
Not really. The loss of Syria was by no means serious to the Russians. It was more of a sentimental asset than a strategic asset. It's not like Russia saw much advantage in having such a vulnerable, weak partner in that part of the Middle East. They had a port, admittedly, but it's far from vital that Russia should control Latakia. They have other options. No, it's the NATO which is front, which is collapsing. The Russians are making inroads on the Ukrainian front. It seems that Trump is seeing the reality of what's going on. And the proof of this is the signs of panic
among the Europeans. They are absolutely scared, excrementless, they don't know what to do next.
Why is it, do you think, that the nations that are most likely to die in a war with Russia in Europe are more enthusiastic for that war than the Americans?
You make a good point. Indeed, it is not rational. But then we're not in the domain of rationality here. We're in the domain of emotion, fear, ambition, and greed. The politicians of most of Eastern Europe are Russia haters, reckless, believe they have total backing from Western Europe. They're not quite sure about America, but they've been encouraged by the Germans, the French, and the British to believe that they have their backs. And they're therefore reckless, people like the Estonians and Latvians, the Poles, Lithuanians, totally reckless, egged on by the Western European powers and the NATO bureaucracy.
But what's the motivation? I mean, it can't just simply be fear, paranoia of Russia.
Well, people make political careers out of paranoia. I think that is Russophobia is popular in these countries. Estonia is a particularly egregious case, exemplified by the former minister who is now the head of European diplomacy. She is a rabid, utterly rabid Russophobe, and has made her career on that basis.
Just back to Syria, please, because people have been saying, well, okay, so we've seen footage of these jihadis in the hospital, but actually the regime under Assad was a similar, there were similar things going on.
Well, I don't think there were, actually. There were different alleged atrocities. But even if that were true, what a contrast between the way the West became hysterical about alleged atrocities on the part of the Assad government and the indifference with which they've greeted the atrocities in the Alawite areas, followed more recently by videoed atrocities in the Druze areas.
Now, both Ukraine and Syria, we've seen and heard a lot of commentary from spokespeople from Chatham House, particularly on the BBC. As an ex-Foreign Office person yourself, Peter, can you tell us who these people are?
Chatham House, I must be choose my words carefully. I don't want to be insulting, but I have zero respect for the so-called experts of Chatham House. They are people who know that their bread is buttered by playing up to the prejudices of the establishment in the Foreign Office and the security services. Do not expect from these people independent, academic, expertise. They are academic frauds. They deliver for a price of the financial support that they get from the government what the government wants to hear. That is their function in life.
And what about MI6? Because some are saying that Zelensky is a creature of theirs, and also the guy that's being slated to take over from him, the current Ukrainian ambassador in London, Zaluzhny, is also MI6. Who are these people, and what is their role, do you think? Because some are saying that MI6 are more powerful than Starmer.
That's an interesting theory. I am not myself in a position to answer fully that question, but it's obvious to all, I think, that SIS, as they're properly called, wield enormous influence, have information on all the leading British politicians, will know, for example, the ins and outs of the Ukrainian rent boy affairs. So it's not surprising that the politicians listen to them a lot.
Where can people find and follow you online, Peter?
The Workers' Party of Britain website carries my stuff. I haven't recently been putting much online. I'm still licking my wounds after my defeat in the Runcorn by-election, but I'm planning a comeback pretty soon.
Okay, former British ambassador to Syria, Peter Ford, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome, Tony. Thank you.